Yeah, so Easter Sunday was this opportunity just for me to reflect again on this theme of a new humanity. That what has sort of broadened in my understanding, you know, since I first gave my life to the Lord and recommitted my life to the Lord again, is that Jesus didn't just come to save me, to forgive me of my sins and you know, allow me to go to heaven one day. But that he came to inaugurate a new covenant in his blood. And that new covenant was this initiating of a new humanity. So even in his life, even in his ministry, even in modeling, what he did as he lived was to show us what it is to be fully alive, fully human, being in relationship with God and others. And so this theme of the resurrection and a real new humanity is such an important one. For me, it's become that. And I think even in our world today, it's huge. So in the midst of, you know, everyone getting confused about politics and nations and genders and all of these, you know, there's so much. There's war and new wars and, you know, whose side are we on? And elections and, hey, we've even got a new pope. You know, and it's all this thing. And, you know, these people are so divided over so many things. And sometimes, I mean, there's often value in getting into these discussions and looking at the issues and things like that. But what Easter says to me is to look beyond that and see what God has intended for us, God's purpose for us. And what could, as we consider Jesus' life and ministry, what he modeled for us, as we think and pray around what Easter really meant, what does a new inaugurated humanity look like? And what will that look like one day? And I think that comes into all of these discussions about nations, nationalism, and conservatives and liberals and all these moves and things that are happening. And so the text that I want to share today out of Galatians is a very well-known one, but it speaks also about a new community. So with Jesus inaugurating a new humanity, this salvation, this freedom, this setting us free from slavery, releasing us from the power of death, empowering us to be the people that God wants us to be. As we move towards Ascension Day and Pentecost, then what comes into this is not just who we are as individuals, but who we are together. And that's what I wanted to almost just to introduce and to share this morning as we think of Mother's Day. Because as we think of Mother's Day, we think, well, of community, of family. And in that sense, Jesus came to form a new community. He selected 12 disciples intentionally. It was like a model of the 12 tribes of Israel. And even there, right at the beginning of his ministry, was this, here is this picture of a new Israel. Something new was afoot. Something new was about to happen. And then at Pentecost, it was like, well, it blew everyone's minds. It wasn't what anyone expected. Because now it wasn't just about a new Israel as in, you know, an ethnic group. It was about the fact that God had inaugurated through Jesus what he always intended through Adam, that we read in Genesis. That God's heart was an actual fact for the whole world. So as we read Genesis 15, and we read all those, when I read from even earlier in Genesis 10 and onwards, you see that God was forming a people for the world to be a light, to be an example, to call the world back to God. And now we see the beginnings of that as we contemplate Easter and Pentecost. It's like God wants all these weird and wonderful groups that were in Jerusalem that day. It's like, and God was moving on all of them. And then it was like, as the church began to write, I think they first preached about this and they first welcomed everyone into this. And then later, as they began to write about it, they were like, wow, isn't this what Isaiah and Ezekiel, that's what they were talking about. This God has been prophesying about a new community and a new people. And so Paul, probably, or arguably, some would say his first letter, one of the earliest writings that we have of the church. I always like to think of that. I think, what else did we lose? You know what I mean? I mean, what are all the letters and the sermons? And there was a whole lot going on. All we can say is this is one of the earliest that we have of the church. This is before the Gospels or anything. And Paul writes in Galatians 3:26, saying, Christ, you are all children of God through faith. God has inaugurated a new family. And here to the Galatians, these were people very much previously excluded. And Paul is on these mission trips and he's sharing the gospel with all these people. And he says, you are all children of God through faith. We have become together God's children in his family. Through this belief, this proclamation, this understanding of what Jesus did in his life and ministry, but on that Easter Sunday or Easter Friday and Easter Sunday. For you are all, or you were baptized into Christ. You've clothed yourselves with Christ. And then he says this, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And I love that. He goes straight back to Abraham. He goes, this is what God always wanted. God always intended to draw his children into a community for himself and for the world. It's just astounding. It just continues to blow my mind. Paul says, as we baptized into Christ, we are now clothed with him. The clothes that we wore, and I mean, Jeremiah's a great one, for the Jeremiah was, he was a lunatic, really. And he went and took clothes, his robe and that, stuck them in a rock till they stank and like no one would wear them. And he put them on. And then he walked through God's people and he says, guys, this is all of us. This is how we look and this is how we smell. It was like prophetic people always just shaking. That was his whole message. But I mean, even as we read Paul's letters, we get this sense of this. Paul often speaks about taking off these robes and putting on. And we were clothed with sin and slavery and bondage. We, like Israel, often get stuck. And like Jeremiah, we get stuck in a rock. And we come out and we're a bit stinky and dirty and everything like that. And the amazing thing about this gospel is that Jesus came to take off those clothes. That is exactly the picture of baptism. Is that we derobe all our faults, failings, misgiving, our rebellion, our idolatry, our sin, sinfulness and brokenness. We derobe from that. We cast that off because we've come to the place and we've said, That bound us, it enslaved us. I think that's so much the picture of salvation, is that it's like we get to the end of ourselves. Jeff was praying about that before the service. He was talking about sometimes we just come empty. And often, not always, but often salvation, the point of salvation, you know, we might not experience it like this, is we just get to the end of ourselves. We go, God, oh God, I desperately need you. I desperately need you. Because I'm stuck or I'm bound. Or in this, using Jeremiah's clothing and that, or I stink. Or all of the above. And we get brought into a place of putting on the robes of Christ. Putting on Christ-likeness. And the interesting thing is that we do that together. So the picture in the early church is their accounts of, and I've shared this before, of new believers getting baptized in a river. And they would take off their garments on the one side of the river, and they would go through the waters. And the bishop, it wasn't like in the swimming pool where we dunk people like we did today, but as they go through the waters, the bishop on the other side, and this is the account that we have, would actually put a new robe over the new believers. And so with baptism was this symbol, this picture of we are now being clothed in newness, in freedom, in the creativity and the wholeness and the favor of our God. And the commission is to put on Christ's robes and to follow him. And to continue to follow him into a world that is still enslaved and broken and full of sin and bondage and oppression and injustice, and to be those that bring a different color. So I had a lot to say this morning about racism, injustice, patriarchy, slavery, and I'm going to pause some of it this morning. When I read this text about you were baptized into Christ and have clothed yourself in Christ, it's an incredible commission. On the one hand, it's like a, you could say it like this, I'm going to say it wrong, okay? But it's like an ideal. It's just ridiculous. I can never live up to that. The reality that Paul says is, by grace, it's not what I do. It's because of this message, it's because of Jesus and what he's done for us, that he clothes us. And I mean, part of me goes, that's wild. And then I think, but there's still so much of me that is sometimes limping like Alex, or parts of the garment, what's that like? I'll give you this analogy. I don't know why the clothing analogy has been sitting with me this week. But in our house, we often talk about it having pajama days. You ever have days that things have been tough or whatever, you've had a bad day and the kids want to go home, they want to get in their jammies. So uncles say they want their stretchy pants. You want to take off like all the things that maybe look, you want to put on your stretchy pants, you want to just put on, any old thing. And when Amy was small, she used to go into my cupboard and I had a tracksuit top. And she would go find this tracksuit top. Sometimes when I wasn't there, she'd go find it and she'd put it on. And then she'd go and get in bed. And I mean, this tracksuit top, in actual fact, was eventually getting thin and holy. I mean, have you ever sort of held something and gone, I can't even give this away. You know what I mean? I just need to use it as rags to wash the gall through. It's not even something that you could give to someone. It's actually disintegrating. And I think it's like sometimes we go back to our old comforts. God has clothed us with these new robes. And we go, well, I just want to be in my holy, you know, like little tracksuit top that doesn't smell so good and that is full of holes. And that's just a metaphor for sometimes we're comfortable with our sin and our idolatry and our rebellion and our brokenness. And yet, there's this calling that is ours. There's this commission. Be clothed with Christ. It's like, for our sake, yeah, be clothed to experience freedom, to experience more of this humanity. But more than that, because there's a world that needs some people who smell of Jesus. There is a world that desperately needs some folk that are just taking their robe and clothing and saying, I've met this Messiah. Let me share him with you. It is amazing. It's very difficult. I can do it this morning. It's very difficult. Talk about Mother's Day and you're sitting with 10, 15 kids that are in our midst that are in an orphanage that aren't with mothers today. And more that are in the other congregation. And that's where it's just one tiny little segment of, but we are called to more than what's just happening with us. We are called to these people around us. And amazing, you know, 2 weeks ago, I didn't even know we were going to pay for all of these kids. And just mentioning it, I had this overwhelming response. And so you know who you are. And it was just incredible that, you know, all of these children that are here that we'd love to go with, but how? All just sponsored, which is, it's amazing, but they also all need us to just be overwhelmingly loving them and being a family to them. And that's my point, that you don't have to be a mother to do that. You can be a young single man or woman, or whatever. There is a world that needs us to be clothed in Christ. So let me end it there before we lose out on the tea and coffee. So I just want to pray this morning and let's welcome the Holy Spirit. And my prayer is going back to wherever we're in need, wherever we're in lack. Some of us came in this morning feeling hemmed in, stressed. I think of there's all kinds of things. You know, you might be struggling physically. As Lee gets up and has this hoarse throat. You know, or there's still flooding. What is that situation? Friend, that at home, it's like, how is there still like nonsense going on with your house and that kind of thing? So it's like the often circumstantially we feel sort of like, we're harassed. But other times there's also just the sense of, sure, Lord, you've got work to do. I feel like that often, like, Lord, we've got work to do. And so wherever there is a need this morning, let's invite the Holy Spirit and just say, Jesus, come and throw your robes over us. Come and make us into these people you want us to be. and where we're still limping and where we're still hurting, let's just say, God, oh God, we need you. And that is our prayer, Holy Spirit. We always come to this place of being in need of you because we love you. Father, we want to be more like the Son that you sent us. And so, Lord, we say, come, Lord Jesus. Come and make us the people that you want us to be.